Welcome to Exercising Your Faith, where we build wisdom in people's lives so they can move forward with purpose in God's plan. Whether your struggle is personal, professional, or spiritual, we look to provide the guidance necessary to reconnect you with your faith and propel you on a path of strength in mind, body, and spirit. It's time to exercise your patience, endurance, and faith with your hosts, Dave and James.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to EYF Podcast, Exercise Your Faith with Dave and James. Today, we have the opportunity to speak with Del Didway, who is an award-winning freelance writer and author who lives in Lucasville, Ohio. He's written several books, Buckeye Believers, Dugout Devotions, First Down Devotions, and Having Impossible Faith. His latest book is about the University of Michigan called Michigan Motivations. Del and his wife, Angie, attend Rubyville Community Church, where she sings and plays piano. And both their sons are ministers. Del loves also to deep sea fish and is a big fan of coffee. So welcome, Del. We're so glad to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me in these wonderful times that we are living. We're all home right now, so this is a great time to catch up.
Exactly. So how are you doing with the coronavirus? California shut down last night at midnight, supposedly.
I saw that.
Yeah, how's Ohio doing? Yeah.
Ohio's doing good. I mean, Governor DeWine's doing a fantastic job. He's taken a lot of criticism, as is Governor Newsom. But I think they're, as President Trump just said right before you called, that he's been very pleased with the way all the governors are coming together. Ohio has not as strict right now as California, but I see Governor DeWine. He has closed down a lot of businesses. Again, he's taking some heat for it, but I think it's the right decision. And so we just have to do what we're instructed. I don't think it's martial law by any means or infringing on our civil rights. I think they're doing this to try to protect us. And, you know, I do see an incoming. I am in the pharmaceutical business, too, by the way. So,
right.
I am very staying in tune with what's going on out there. One of the companies I work for actually has a drug in the third phase that they think will have an impact on this coronavirus.
Awesome. Yeah. So you'll be at the front lines then, possibly, of helping to bring this to an end.
I certainly hope to be. I would count that an honor to be able to have a medication that could help people. You know, yeah, that would be dynamic.
That would be cool. Awesome. Well, good for you. Yeah. Well, great. Yep. I'm glad to know that things are doing well there. So one of the things that we like to do on our show is, or we encourage, is our guests to share their testimony. Because one of the things that people like to hear is, wow, somebody else went through the same thing that I did. So if you don't mind, if you could share just a briefly or as long as you want, your testimony, how God has changed your life.
Well, God, you know, obviously he does change your life. Anytime anybody asks him into their hearts and lives, it does have a tremendous impact. I did that when I was 16 years old. That was a long time ago. And you know, it hasn't been a bed of roses. Obviously, there are struggles, and for the longest time, I went through that. I did what I'm supposed to do. I went to church all the time. I had family, and took in the church and prayed and read my Bible and did that thing like that all the time. But you know, I don't want to say I was going through the motions, but at the same time, I think I was. I was just kind of not playing church, but just kind of going through, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, my wife sings and plays the piano, and she always did something. And my boys, when they became, you know, later on in the teen years, both accepted this calling to preach.
Right.
And I thought that was awesome. I supported them. I was like, you know, I'm not doing anything. So, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm just kind of pondering along. And I always had this desire, you know, always had this deep down passion to write. And I was a writer. I was a sports writer one time, and I'd written for general news assignments. I was in media, but never really worked for NADA. Never really used my talent. And I would occasionally do something for like Sports Spectrum, which is a national spiritual publication of faith, deals with athletics. I would occasionally do something for them, but I wasn't really, you know, tapping into what I could do. And so, I was like 49 or 50 years old, and I just said, you know, I've had enough of this sitting on the sidelines stuff. And it's kind of a long story, so I'll just get to the
core of it.
It's a really long story. So I at one point just said, look, you know, I want to do something. I want to have a ministry. I want to be productive. And God opened the door, and I was introduced to this Christian writing world that I knew nothing about. I had no clue what's out there because I had written this manuscript after our family experienced kind of a tragic event. And so I wrote this manuscript. I didn't know what to do with it, you know? So I reached out to, I had no social media at that time either, right? Which is kind of hard to believe. I had no social media. I was like 50 years old.
Well, your life was probably a lot calmer at that point.
Yeah, it was really boring, actually. So I reached out to who is now a dear friend of mine. I didn't know this person at the time. We had a similar profile on LinkedIn. We were both sports writers. We had similar interests. So I reached out to her. And did not know her. And so she responded. And now we're like, she's like my sister. And so I didn't realize how big she was in the Christian writing world. She's this mega star. And so she reached out to me with some advice, and I took that advice. And then because of that advice, I met who is now my literary agent, who's also a pastor up in Michigan, who now represents both of us. And so she introduced me to this world that, you know, has kind of exploded in it, because when I was introduced to this world, I met down my agent. I have 5 books published. I have 6 more coming out in the next 3 years.
Wow!
I am now a literary agent, helping Christian authors become published. I'm teaching at these writing conferences now, and it's all been kind of my mouth's right on a fire hydrant. And my agent said to me at one time, he said, 3 years ago you prayed for a ministry. He said, now you have one. So he said, be careful what you ask for.
Right, exactly. No, you're big. Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
I'm not big. Everything's been happening, and it's been a blur, but it's been a blast, and I'm just trying to soak it all in and try to have an impact. And that's what I want to do.
Well, one thing I want to just go back to that you mentioned earlier there about your sons getting into the ministry, and you had mentioned, well, what were you going to do? I would say, you must have done something right, you and your wife, because leading 2 kids into the ministry, they needed to have a mentor or a role model somewhere there. You being the dad, I would say that you had a big, big part in that.
Well, yeah, I would like to think so. I mean, I was my wife's a good cop. I was a bad cop. And I kind of had the attitude, well, yeah, we did. Yeah, we took him to church. We made sure they went no matter what. And I wasn't their buddy. I wasn't their friend. I was their father.
Right.
So I had made decisions that some of these, and there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think, but I write blogs that, be their dad. You're the one to tell them no. You're not the buddy. Because buddies aren't going to tell them no. So, my wife was, we took him to church. We made sure there was revivals. Church was first. And we have a great church. And so their decision to go into ministry was their decision. Nothing we pushed on them. It wasn't nothing we shoved down the throat. It was something they were called to do. So that's how I look at it. I don't want to take credit for it, but I think we did something right, because I know a lot of folks that we go to church with, have kids who are straying or who have strayed, and that happens to everybody. That could happen to us still. So we're always vigilant, and we're always concerned, and are they doing right and things like that. So we're not helicopter parents by any means. But if I see something that I think's wrong, I'll just tell them, hey, you need to straighten up, or kick them in the pants or something like that. So I'm a firm believer in that. I adhere to Dr. Dobson's theory of tough love sometimes. And again, we're I know dad and my boys were friends, but I'm still not their buddy.
Right.
And yeah, so that's how I look at it.
That's awesome.
Dale, early on you mentioned that there were some struggles as you first got into the faith. What issue are you dealing with right now that you're actively praying about and asking God to step in on?
Oh boy, there's a bunch of those. No, the biggest one right now is I'm in the pharmaceutical industry, and I've done that for 15 years, and I'm trying to decipher, you know, whether to leave it and forego this, you know, nice salary I have, and to do more. And that struggle's real. It's something I am battling every day. And I'm just praying that doors will open, that I'll be given the right direction. And I feel confident. I know they'll take care of you, of me and my family. But it's something I have to, you know, be willing to follow and not just do it on my own. I mean, if I just do something and say, hey, God will take care of me, well, that's kind of callous and a cavalier attitude. It's stepping out in that faith and then, you know, knowing he'll take care of you. Saying it, because I'm not a guy that says, hey, God told me to do this. And I'm not saying there's not, because I know a girl in our church who says, God told me to do this. She says it all the time. And so I've never had really that many revelations like that. But about a year ago, I believe I was being told that, to quit your job. And I'm like, really? Really? So that's something I've asked my wife and I prayed about for a long time. And so that's something I'm battling. That's something I'm experiencing right now, is the weather. And things seem to be setting up for me to do that. And so I'm kind of trying to prepare ourselves that if I do step, that, you know, God will take care of us and help me. I mean, we'll live the lavish lifestyle, not lavish lifestyle, we'll live the lifestyle that we're used to, but that's okay. If that works out, and we'll just have to go in faith on it. And right now, doors have been kind of opening to do that, and there's some things have been presented to me for the next few months that, you know, confirm that. So we're going to have to make that decision.
Right. Well, I think you bring up a valid point that a lot of our listeners maybe struggle with is, are we where we're supposed to be in God's plan for our lives? You know, we look at our jobs, you know, the occupations that we're doing on a daily basis, and we ask ourselves, does God want me doing this, or should I be doing this? So it's something that I think that we can all relate to.
Yeah, it's, you don't want to dare God. You don't want to say, well, I'm going to do this and see if you take care of me. And that's not the attitude to take. It's the attitude that, you know, you'll take care of us. How do you want us to go? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to proceed? What's the next step? Because if you go out and you have the attitude that, well, God will take care of me no matter what, then you're just inviting trouble, because it's not what you want. So, I mean, I would love to, like, play on the PGA Tour, but that's not going to happen. And if I quit my job and say, God will take care of me, give me the talent, well, that's just not going to happen. Right. So it's, you know, listening, obeying, trusting, and sometimes I have a hard time with that, but and being patient on that. I'm just not going to do it. Something that I'm not going to do tomorrow. It's something that we're really looking at, and the timing is always going to be perfect. So that's my biggest issue is, you know, doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing from God, listening to him, and then all the, you know, everything seems to be falling into place to make that move.
Well, that's awesome. So what we'll do is part of what we do is pray for you in that way as well. So you can count on that. One of the things that you seem to have a theme in your writing is, of course, you mentioned you were a sports writer. So do you think that sports is a great door opener to Christianity for others?
Yeah, and it has to be very careful, because a lot of athletes love to say, you know, they love to praise God, even if they don't have a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And they kind of give a false identity. But what I've been able to do the last 3-4 years is get these athletes who do have a solid testimony, who do have a big following, and tell their story. And that's been very well received. And it kind of blew me away how well some of these books have been doing, because of the athletes that have this big following, and kids, for some reason, look up to them and they want to read about them. And I have to be careful there too, because one example of this, again, this was not his fault at all, was we did a devotion. We interviewed Ben Zobrist of the Cubs,
right?
And one of the things he talked about was how much he leaned on his wife, that she was his rock. And then what happened? That rock was pulled out from under him, and right. So nothing. So we had to change some of the things that we wrote. Mm. In fact, one of the devotions we had to pull because it talked about how much he leaned on his wife. So things change when you center it around people, and so that's why I did some research. And the athletes I talked to had very strong, strong faith testimonies and witnesses, and so we had to rely on that, because I would have to talk to one athlete who posts scripture on one of his social media pages, and he told me that's just an act. He doesn't really believe that stuff.
So really?
I said, well, okay. Wow. I said I'll talk to you later. So I kind of moved on. So you kind of have to be sure about that and kind of roll the dice some of it on. But I'm very careful who I talk to on that. I just don't talk to any athlete, because again, they all say they'll all point up to heaven if they hit a home run or whatever.
Right.
But you got to really look at their testimony and their history and what they've gone through. So that's something that's kind of important to me, to make sure I'm not just lifting up somebody who's not, I don't want to say fake, but who doesn't live it. So both the athletes I've talked to, I've done research on them, and you make sure, and I tell them up front what I'm talking about. And I've only had one athlete tell me, or two athletes tell me, they really didn't want to talk about that. So, and I honor that, and I just don't press it. One athlete, actually, who was very honest with me about it, he had a testimony one time, and I went up to him to talk about it. He goes, man, I don't do that now, because I haven't gone to church in years. And I said, well, just it's too late. You can still start going again.
Right. Right.
I know that. And he said, thank you. And we just kind of parted ways, but was able to talk to him about it, about, hey, there's still hope. There's still a chance. You can still go back. And he goes, I know that. So, but he was very honest about it and didn't lie to me about it, because some, will. So, I was able to encourage him at that time, and he even thanked me for it.
Very cool.
So in speaking of your writing, how have you seen God move in your books in terms of the outcomes that have happened since they were published? What are testimonies? What things have you seen?
Oh, that's a great question. And one answer I just received about 2 months ago. There's a young man out in Colorado. I don't know him. We've never met. He took time to find my email, sent me a message that he loves what I'm doing. He's bought my books. And that has encouraged him to start doing the same thing. He loves to write about Christian athletes. So it's kind of nice to know that you have an impact where this young man sent me this well-crafted email saying, what you've done has inspired me. So that made me feel good. Makes you feel like you're doing something worthwhile that's not going unnoticed. So
right.
I stay in contact with him now. And so just to know that something I've done inspired somebody halfway across the nation to start doing similar things is very encouraging.
Very cool. So if you had to share, speaking of encouragement, let's just say there's one listener out there right now, and if you had something to say to them, if you had to share encouragement with just one person today, given all that we're dealing with, coronavirus and all this other kind of stuff and figuring out God's plan, what would you say to that average person out there today?
And an average person is to do what I've done and trust and wait. And those two things are hard for me. Especially the waiting part is very difficult for me because I'm in sales. I like to see results. And that's what's where I've been wired for the past 15 years. When I was a sports writer and a news assignment writer, I would write it instantly. So I didn't, waiting is not something I've ever done well. And so these last 3 or 4 years have taught me to be patient, taught me to wait. because a great example of that is the book Dug Out Devotions. That book was pitched to me by a very well-known publisher in the Christian writing world. They came to me with the idea. And I said, well, sure, that sounds awesome. We had teleconferences about, when can you have this done? What's your end date? They gave me a date to have it done. I said, well, sure, I can have it done by then. I went out and interviewed all these high-profile athletes and put it all in a book. And when it came down to it, they said no. They changed their minds. Wow. So we were really devastated by that because I'd worked my tail off for a year
right.
on a book, which was their idea, mind you. They came to me with this idea. And I said, here it is. Here it is, guys. And they said, well, we changed our minds. Wow. So my agent and I were like, this is nuts. So about 8 months later, I went to the same Christian Writers Conference, met with a different publisher who absolutely loved the book, loved the idea, signed into a contract, published the books, published First Time Devotions. The books have done tremendously well. It's not for the money, it's just the fact that Dug Out Devotions is selling well in the general market, not just the Christian writing world, but the general market. Mm-hmm. And they've done so well that now this publisher wants volumes 2 of Dug Out Devotions, the First Time Devotions. So I went from, it took me about a year and a half of waiting for this to happen, but it happened. So the advice is, don't make it happen yourself, because if I tried to make it happen myself, my track record is not good. So wait and have faith. And that sounds generic, but those are two hard things for me to do. And not the faith, my faith in God, whatever, but sometimes the faith that, will it work out?
Right.
My faith for me is getting out of the way, and that's hard for me to do. So the best advice is really have faith. And one of my books looks at that. How do we have faith?
Is that the Impossible Faith book?
Yeah. Cause that's the first manuscript I ever wrote was that book. And it deals with a family tragedy.
Right.
And do we really say we have faith in times of trial? Because there's one story I deal with in the book about this lady that was well known in our area, was very poor, and how she had to have faith to get by every day. And I don't know if I could do that. There's stories where she had pray for an egg, to pray for eggs, and those eggs would show up in the form of a duck who laid them in her flower bed. So wow. I don't know if I would have faith to pray for an egg and trust God to deliver it. So I challenge the reader, you say you do, but do you really? And they're really focused on that. So to have faith and to get out of the way and wait is not the answer people might want to hear, but it's sometimes the best answer.
Right. Del, along those same lines, in your opinion, what holds back most Christians today?
I think just doing that, I think trying to do things themselves. I know that's always been my stumbling block. I would say, God, do you want me to quit my job? And then the next day I'm on Indeed looking for a job. So I think it's real. People wonder, how's it going to happen? Is God really going to take care of me? And that's what my biggest holdback is the trust aspect of it, the faith. Getting myself out of the way, because I point out there's a chapter in the book Having Impossible Faith, and these aren't cheesy pitches. My wife went through something 3-4 years ago that nobody knew any answers, and I took it upon myself to find the answer, and I did a pretty good job actually. I reached out to doctors all over the nation, all over the world actually, and nobody had the answer. And nobody could help. I mean, nobody. And we went to 11 specialists all over the country. Nobody knew what this was and how to stop it. And then finally, I said, God, we were told to advise you go to this one physician. I said, sure, we're going to get the same blah, blah answer. I made the call. to get in and just said, you know, this is yours, man. I'm out of the way. And lo and behold, that doctor had the answer. They were amazing. Once I got out of the way, it happened. So I think that holds people back, at least it did for me, was I like to run interference.
Right, try to figure everything out.
Yeah, and so I was interfering. And so once I said, I'm done, we went up to this position, everything's great now.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah, I'm a Mr. Fix-It guy myself in my marriage. Yeah. And so I'm always trying to fix things. I don't listen very well. I'm working on that. Work in progress.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is. It is hard. I want to make things right. So
we always hear things, you have faith, just trust. And really, it's hard for me to do. But these last 3 or 4 years have really shown me, hey, you know, he will take care of us.
Right.
And he will provide. If we will open the doors, if we just get out of the way.
Right. I read something the other day that said, it was talking about that whole statement of God helps those who help themselves, but that's not in the Bible. That's not written. Evidently in the Bible, you're not going to find that in the book. And God helps those who rest upon him and abide in him. And so speaking of habits, what's a personal habit that you do that Christians would find helpful? You know, maybe something that you do every day, you know, just something that you do on a daily basis.
All right. This has been since the past 3 or 4 years. I put out on my Twitter feed every day. I don't badger people. I don't shove it up people's throats. I put out something encouraging.
Okay.
And I get a lot of response on it. Again, 3 years ago, I had no social media presence. but my Twitter feed has really taken off. So I put out encouraging tweets. You know, some scripture, some something encouraging, a funny quote. I use Twitter to encourage, right. And it encourages me because I get a lot of feedback too from it. People like that. Mm-hmm. So, I occasionally do political too, but I mean, I have a wide range of interests. But every morning and every afternoon and evening, I try to put out an encouraging quote, an encouraging prayer, an encouraging picture, something to encourage folks because we really need that. We do that every we're on a show, PJNet TV, where we just encourage each other. And we try to inspire each other. We talk about current events and what's going on, kind of like this conversation. But we always try to uplift somebody and uplift one another. And because, you know, for a long time I wasn't negative, per se, but I wasn't really positive or encouraging. So I think that's something I do every day, and I try to do it. And it helps me, and it helps the other person because I'll put out a quote that I need to see,
right?
And if I need it, I'm thinking, oh, somebody else needs to see this too.
Right.
And so I try to mix it up to gather a lot of different followers. I try to mix up. I'll put out verses. I'll put out quotes. I'll put out food, pictures of food, pizza, whatever, and coffee. So I try to mix it up, but it's always with a positive, upbeat attitude. And so I think that's something I've done the habit of doing, and people kind of rely on it. I mean, like my weekly blogs are I try to encourage. And there was one week where I was late getting out, and a person I don't know sent me this note: "Hey, are you going to post your blog today?"
Yeah, let's go.
I'm like, oh, yeah. So they're used to getting at a certain time. I was running behind, and I found that encouraging, that people kind of look for it now, and it's really I guess it's an ego boost. But it really makes you feel good that, hey, somebody's actually reading stuff. Because my first blog I ever did when I first started doing this years ago, I had, I think, 27 people read it.
Wow.
And I thought that was awesome. 27 people. And, you know, my blog, I was doing that 4 years. My blog, Tuesday night, hit over 4 million people.
Wow.
So it's really taken a drastic increase. From 27 people to close to 4 million. So that's very humbling. That's exciting, but it's also very humbling. You make a mistake, all those people are seeing.
So, there's a lot of people watching.
Yeah. So I have my moments when I'm down and discouraged like everybody else. And I'll put out a tweet to that. But you know what? When I do, I get more people responding saying, hey, it's going to be okay. Right. And that's really nice because the people out there actually care about you and they want to uplift you too. So that's what I'm trying to do every day is to try to encourage.
Way cool.
So speaking of that encouragement, if one of the things that we try to do on this show is provide resources for our listeners. If you had one resource that you could share with our listeners to help them along with their journey and their walk with Christ, what would it be?
You know, that's an interesting question. A resource, that could be a lot of things. You know, it could be your local church.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Your resource could be your family. Your resource could be the people you follow on social media. If you can follow somebody that's negative, you know, delete it. You don't need that. Don't have the attitude, well, I'm going to go save this person. Because they're going to drag you down. So resources, you know, again, local churches, local organizations that deal with charities, those are things you can get involved with and make a difference. If you think, well, I don't make a difference, you know what? Go down to your local hospice unit at midnight to take in some donuts to the nurses,
right,
or to the families. You can have an impact by doing something like that, or you know, donate your time at like a little homeless shelter once a month. There's a real good friend of mine. She goes every Wednesday. She goes and serves food at this homeless shelter. And I went there one day. I said, I want to see what this is like. And I wrote this blog about it. And I was amazed. I mean, this is a half hour from my house. I'm like, wow, this is really humbling. But she does it every Wednesday. You know, she doesn't. She works, but she goes to goes there every Wednesday at noon for an hour. So resources could be, you know, just reach out to your community. That's your resource. Get involved. Do something productive. And have a positive impact. You know, one of my good friends that I've met through all this writing is he just retired. Is Clint Hurdle, the manager of Pittsburgh Pirates? Former manager of the Pirates. Clint just retired, and Clint did a book study with me in Pittsburgh with my Dugout Devotion because he was involved with it. And he did something one day that really amazed me. And he puts out these tweets or quotes every day, and text messages every day. But we went up to Pittsburgh to go to the signing, and I went to the game the night before. I was there, and the Pittsburgh just got massacred. I mean, they just got blown off the field. And I thought, great, you know, we've got this book signing the next day. it's gonna be in a lousy mood. So, you know, I show up at the Barnes & Noble in Pittsburgh, and you know, and I'm waiting on Clint to pull up, and Clint pulls in. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how's it going to be? What kind of mood are you going to be in? And so he walks in. I said, hey, yeah, Clint, good to see you again. He goes, I said, man, sorry about last night. He goes, what? We got beat. So what? Today is a brand new day. Today is a new day. So I thought, wow, because, you know, in the past, you know, our high school coach, if we got beat, you know, 15-1, it wasn't a pleasant day the next day.
Right. Stare straight ahead. Don't say anything to anybody.
Exactly. And so he was like, hey, it's a new day. He said, we have a chance to win tonight. Mm. Okay, great. So his attitude there really helped me and kind of gave me a sign that, you know what, things aren't that bad. So do something productive, be an encouragement to somebody, and use your local resources. Find in yourself, find your church, some local charity, get involved, and shine your light that way.
Awesome. So as we come to a close here, what are some of the ways you mentioned people can connect with you? So your Twitter feed is what?
It's and I'll spell my name because it is everything's my name. It is on Twitter. It's obviously at Del Didwight, and that's DelDudwight. Nothing like it sounds. It's French. Again, DelDudwight.
Okay.
And that's the same for Instagram. It's going to be the same for Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah. So I, again, 4 years ago, I had no social media. now Twitter. I do prefer that one. That's my main one. I prefer those our social media gurus say, find one you like and do good at it. I'm trying to get in on Instagram. Facebook, that's all right.
Well, LinkedIn, if you went from 27 to 4 million and you did it mostly through Twitter, I'm going to go ahead and say you found your gold mine there.
See, I prefer Twitter. I can communicate better that way. I met a lot of good friends on Twitter, actually. I mean, the guy I'm on every Tuesday night with on PGNet TV, we met on Twitter. I've met some really good friends that, you know, I broadcast local high school football games here locally on this little radio station. And they follow my games. You know, I pop it out a tweet. Hey, we're getting ready to go on the air. And I'll have somebody from like Florida send me this note. Hey, we're all tuned in listening. So that's fun. I enjoy it. So that's how people can connect with me there. If they're interested in the books, I think on Twitter and everything, they're there too, because we've got some good ones out. We've got six more of the next 2 years. And then we're in discussions with a couple more after that. I'm supposed to be going to the Olympics in Tokyo if they're not canceled or postponed. We're already talking to one publisher about writing something, writing a devotional based on the Olympics. So we'll be hopefully going to Tokyo here in a couple of months. In fact, I'm monitoring that every day.
Right.
We're supposed to make airline reservations soon, but I'm kind of holding off right now on that. I'll be the media director for 2020 Reach Out Japan. So we're looking forward to going to Tokyo. And I don't think they're going to cancel it, but they are talking about possibility of postponing. But again, we're just monitoring that situation every day before I make airline reservations.
All right. Well, hopefully they're looking at it on a daily basis too, and not making these broad 3 to 4 month out prognostications. I mean, everything that we've talked about has changed rapidly in the last 2 weeks, things that we never would have thought we'd be doing today. We're doing today. So yeah, hopefully they give you the same type of thing on the other side.
Yeah. And they're under pressure to get it right. And, there's no the answer in this, because Japan, as we researched, has spent billions of dollars on this, on all these games.
Right.
And athletes have prepared for years. So it's not just something, where's my cancel? If they cancel it, I mean, Japan will crumble financially. Mm-hmm. And I know lives are more important, but at the same time, when you've spent close to $12 billion investments on these games, then you have to find a way to pull it off. So we're monitoring it every day. We just got a report that cancellation is not an option. It will be either run a schedule or postpone and move back a couple of months. So and again, that's not an easy thing for something that's 3-4 weeks long. And you can't just, we'll just move it to next weekend.
Right.
You can't really do that. So there's a lot of moving parts there. So we're monitoring that every day. We're excited to go. We're going to go as a mission team to actually, to witness the athletes and be a vessel of encouragement there. So we're looking forward to that adventure.
Awesome. So as we close, then, could we say that that's something that you would really like people to pray for you about? And pray that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. They'll pray that we'll just have direction. We'll know what to do. Our team will know what to do, when to make reservations, because we have people who've invested in us too. Who, they want to know what's going on. So it's just something that I think everybody's not in the dark, but everybody just doesn't know what direction. I mean, they're going to happen. It's just a matter
of when. Right.
Will they? Yes.
Yeah, we know the where, we just don't know the when, and that's kind of the story of life.
Yeah,
depending on how you look at
it. Exactly.
Yep. So great. Well, Bud, I tell you what, this has been a fantastic time. I just am so privileged to get the opportunity to talk with you. I know James feels the same way, and I just pray that God will take your message of hope and encouragement and the way that you handle things, and just bless it incredibly. And we pray that God's going to take care of all the little things for you and your wife in terms of what your decisions are going to be going forward. And you'll be in our prayers in that way. And again, we want to thank you, Bud, for joining us today. And if there's anything that you'd like to say real fast before we go.
Well, no, I've had a wonderful experience here. This has been quite an honor. And you know, God does take care of you. It's just the suspense gets to me at times, waiting. The waiting aspect, yes. You know, he kills me with the suspense. So, but it always works out. And then you always look back and say, ah, that's why.
That's why.
So that's what I'm learning to do. And just look back and say, ah, that was the message. That's why he wanted me to wait. Because oddly enough, my wife and I have also talked about, for the past year, opening up our own business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've always run into roadblocks. And now we're looking back thinking, you know what, if we open, because we were supposed to open like this year. That was the plan. It didn't happen. I'm like, you know what, this is really frustrating. I look back at it now. You know, if we had our own business now, there's no way we'd make it.
Right.
With everybody being told to stay home.
Right.
We have two good friends of ours have already said they're going to go out of business. I'm thinking, you know what? I'd be right there with them. So right now I have a job. I have an income. And you look back and say, oh, well, thanks, God. He was watching.
Yeah. After all. God is sovereign, isn't he? Yeah. Yeah. He's never late. Yeah, wow. He's always on time. So
I've learned to just say, you know what? It's, you know, 10 years ago, I've been really frustrated and want to make things happen myself. Now it's like, okay, it didn't happen. So what? That person didn't get back with me. Okay. No big deal. So this is why. So I'm learning that aspect of it.
Awesome. All right, brother. Well, I tell you what, we want you to have a great rest of the week. Stay safe. Hopefully you don't have to go wait in line at Costco, because that's always an experience. And depending on where you live, it gets even worse. But again, stay safe. We pray that you and your wife are well and your kids are well, and that everything goes well for you going forward, brother.
Thank you. We're just hunkered down here in Southern Ohio.
All right. Well, you take care, my friend.
Thank you.
We appreciate you joining us on this episode of Exercising Your Faith, but your faith workout doesn't stop here. Be sure to head to eyfpodcast.com for more information and resources on today's episode by signing up for our mailing list to receive messages of hope and faith to keep you moving forward with purpose in God's plan. That's available on eyfpodcast.com. Until next time, God bless.